Mighty God, you love us so much, and as the rain falls outside and refreshes the ground, so we pray that your word would refresh us this morning and grow new life in us. Help us to hear it fresh. In the name of Christ. Amen. Well, if you've ever taken any time to browse around through the App Store on iTunes or on Google Play, one of the things you quickly come to realize is that there is virtually an app now for everything. That old commercial, there's an app for that. Well, that's literally true. I look at the apps that I have on my phone, and I have apps for everything now. I even have a ruler app. If I need to measure something that's this long, I can do it with a ruler app on my iPhone. And you know, some of the apps are really interesting. A lot of them have to do with animals. We seem to be fascinated with animals and pets. Those are the videos that get the most hits on Facebook, for example. Cats doing weird things, dogs doing weird things. And now there are apps that can help you get more connected to the animals around you. For example, I found on the App Store an app that actually you can take out into your backyard and turn on and record the sounds of the birds, and it will tell you what birds are making what sounds. That's actually fairly useful, very interesting, right? But then there are the other apps that are just goofy. Like there's one where you can give your pet a makeover on the app. You take a picture of the animal, and then you can draw lipstick on it. Why? That's the question. It's free, and of course, that's what it's worth. But you know, it's kind of like this Dr. Doolittle thing we have going on where we want to somehow communicate with the animals. We want them to be more like us. If we could talk to them, wouldn't that be cool? I don't know how useful it would be, but it'd be very cool. Like your dog might tell you, do not dare dress me in that Christmas sweater. I will not wear it. You know, that's what they would say. But there's one app that kind of takes the cake. It's called the Bowlingual, and I am not making this up. This is an app that enables you to know, sort of, what your dog is trying to tell you with his incessant yapping. This is based on an actual device that was manufactured in Japan back in the late 90s, early 2000s, where the dog wore a collar and there was a receiver, and the dog would bark, and when you came home, it would tell you in a little box what the dog was actually saying while you were gone. Well, this time, they've gotten rid of the device, and they put it on your iPhone. So what happens is, your dog is barking, you whip out your phone, and you record the dog's bark. And then it's supposed to translate for you what the dog is actually saying based on 6 different mood categories. Happy, sad, frustrated, needy, on guard, and assertive. So when that delivery person rings your doorbell, you should be able to tell whether your dog is sensing bad karma or saying, careful who you mess with, or happily proclaiming, you know what I like. Now, users report mixed results with this app. Go figure, right? Often the translation doesn't match up with the circumstance. And if you really get down to it, do you need an app to tell you when your dog is angry or upset or happy? Some of the text responses that were for the old Bowlingual, for example, were really interesting. Like there was one that said, I'll be contacting my attorney. That's what your dog's supposed to say. Would a dog actually say, I'll be contacting my attorney? A cat, yes. A dog, perhaps not so much. Still, there's something very intriguing about the possibility of human-animal communication, particularly when we consider the fact that often human behavior is not that far differentiated from much of the animal kingdom. It's interesting that one of the metaphors most often used in the Bible for the people of God is sheep. None of the kids picked sheep. They all picked different sorts of animals that are much cooler. You know, I've never had, in all the years I've asked that question of kids, none of them have ever said, I want to be a sheep. But that's what we are. Isaiah tells us that we are sheep who have gone astray. And then the gospel text where Jesus also uses sheep to describe those who follow him. In biblical times, the sheep were the staple livestock. It's still that way in the Middle East. And sheep are as common in many towns in the Middle East as you would find dogs in homes in America. Shepherds, of course, are those who lead the sheep around. And they clearly understood the communication style of the sheep without the use of any device, what we might call an ovine lingual device. They don't need one. It was merely a matter of knowing the language and the nature of the herd. Shepherds, in other words, know their sheep. Reminds me of a story about a shepherd who was herding his flock in a remote pasture when suddenly a brand new BMW came out of the dust toward him. The driver, a young man in an Armani suit with Gucci shoes, Ray-Ban sunglasses, and a pure silk tie, stepped out and asked the shepherd, "If I tell you exactly how many sheep you have in your flock, will you give me one?" Well, the shepherd looked at the man, looked at his peacefully grazing flock, and said, "Sure." So the young man parks the car, whips out his 5G connected tablet, then he surfs to a NASA page on the internet where he calls up a satellite navigation system, scans the area, opens up a database and Excel spreadsheets with complex formulas. He sends out an email, and after a few minutes, he receives a response. Finally, he prints out a 150-page report on his miniaturized printer, and he turns to the shepherd and he says, "You have exactly 1,586 sheep." "That's correct," says the shepherd. "Take one of the sheep." And he watches as the young man bundles one of the animals into his beamer. Then the shepherd says this, "If I can tell you exactly what your business is, will you give me my sheep back?" "Okay, why not?" answers the young man. "Well, clearly you're a consultant," said the shepherd. "Well, that's correct," says the young man. "How did you guess that?" "No guessing required," said the shepherd. "You turned up here, although nobody called you. You want to get paid for the answer to a question that I already knew, and you don't know anything about my business. Now give me back my dog." Shepherds know their sheep. And if you want to know sheep like a shepherd does, consider these facts about sheep and people that every good shepherd knows. The first is that sheep are gregarious. In other words, sheep will always band together and pretty much stay together when grazing or moving around. It's not because they like each other, although they are social animals. It's because they find security in numbers. Shepherds know that if you get one sheep to go, they will all go and follow. When Jesus was asked by those around him whether he was the Messiah, they were asking a question about belonging and security. The Messiah was to be the shepherd, the one who would bring the whole flock of Israel together and provide protection and victory against the Roman oppressors who were nipping at their heels. Jesus reinterprets this tradition about the Messiah, however, and reminds them that theirs is not an exclusive flock, but rather that there are other sheep who do not belong to this fold. Sheep like those black sheep, Gentiles and Romans who were walking around the streets. It was a call to expand the flock, to bring more and more people under the protection, grace, and love of the Good Shepherd. In a culture like ours, where rugged individualism is a high value, the idea of flocking or being herded isn't too appealing. None of the kids ever pick herd animals. Rattlesnakes, dinosaurs, big teeth. We like to be the lone wolf. But the reality is that like sheep, we are social animals. We need each other. We're wired that way. We need to belong. And we herd instinctively. What's another thing that we learn about? Groupthink, right? One person starts to get there and suddenly the whole group starts to go along. If you don't believe that, if you don't believe in the herd mentality, just watch politics. You will see it all the time. In the sheep herd, separation from the flock begets extreme stress. Now, sheep will communicate their stress. Their bleating will go higher. In humans, we also communicate our stress in high-pitched ways, usually through high-pitched cries of loneliness or addiction or depression. Jesus' miracles and healing work was evidence that he was bringing all the lost and hurting sheep, both Jews and Gentiles, under his care, not letting one sheep wander. Remember the parable? He had 99 sheep, one got lost. What did he do? He went out and found the one and brought it back. Jesus knows that the flock is all-inclusive. And he knows that because the truth is that we cannot make it on our own. We need others. We need Christ the Good Shepherd. That's the whole reason that he gave us the church. Do you know that the name pastor is actually a different form of the word shepherd? We're all part of the same flock. It's a real expression of what it means to be connected to and protected in Christ, the flock together. I like the profound theology of the words of a little girl who began to recite the 23rd Psalm, like John read for us a little bit earlier, but the way she said it was this. She said, "The Lord is my shepherd. That's all I want." Isn't that perfect? It's all we want. Still having trouble with this whole human sheep connection? Well, consider this second important fact that shepherds know, and that is that sheep are intelligent. Now, this is contrary to the popular belief that they're stupid. I actually said that in a children's sermon once years ago. I said, well, as we all know, I was preaching on this passage, sheep are dumb. And one of the girls stood up. She stood up and she crossed her arms like this and she stomped her feet. She said, "They are not stupid." I said, "Well, what makes you say that?" She said, "Well, my grandfather owns a sheep farm and those sheep are brilliant." How are you going to argue with a five-year-old? I said, "All right, forget everything that I said, you know?" And it turns out she was right, because in terms of the ranking of farm animal intelligence, if you learn nothing else today, you'll learn this. Sheep are just below the pig and on par with cattle in IQ. How they measure that, I don't know, but there it is. Turkeys may be the dumbest, because as we know, the old legend that turkeys will drown if they simply look up. You know, they can't stop looking up at the rain, and suddenly they will drown. That's the legend. Of course, if you've ever tracked a wild turkey, you know that they are not so dumb. They're actually very smart. Now, a study at the Babraham Institute, Babraham, in Cambridge, England, showed that sheep have remarkable memories. They're able to pick out a particular face in a line of pictures if that face is associated with a food reward. Some of the sheep in the study could remember up to 50 images for as long as 2 years. This is a sign of higher intelligence. They also have keen hearing, which makes it possible for them to discern the voice of their shepherd from among many others. And they will always move toward the person they perceive to be a friend, particularly if that is the friend who feeds them. You see, sheep aren't as dumb as we think. That is, unless they're afraid. One researcher says that the reputation that sheep get for being stupid actually comes from the fact that they are afraid of just about everything. He says any animal, including humans, once they are scared, don't tend to show signs of intelligent behavior. Fear, in other words, makes cowards of us all. Fear causes a flock to disintegrate, and when sheep are driven apart, they are most vulnerable to predators. Jesus' call for others to follow him was a literal way of leading people out of isolation and out of danger. Jesus understood that it was his voice, God's authority that would make his sheep come to him, no matter how far they had strayed. Those who gathered around him to question him there in John 10 wouldn't or couldn't hear that. The people who had responded to Jesus' message and witnessed his miracles of healing, love, and grace knew that it was only through Jesus that they would be spiritually fed and their lives made at peace, both in the present age and in the age to come. It was his voice that promised, "I have given them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand." This is the Good Shepherd who calls all the flock together. The voice continues to call us and comfort us. You know, when you are with a family in a hospital room at 3 o'clock in the morning in the emergency room, when I was in seminary, we were taught, you know, to show up. That was the primary thing, is to show up and don't say much. You know, we tend to want to fix things. But you know, one of the things that has worked over and over again for people in crisis is to simply say to people, remember what Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, I know my sheep, and I will go with them and be with them. Jesus makes that work by being present, by caring for us even when we stray. In fact, this is the good shepherd who lays down his life for us of his own accord, and has received power from his Father to take it up again. That's one of the great images of the Easter season. We realize, as did the writers of the Bible, that the Messiah, Jesus, is both a loving shepherd and also the sacrificial lamb that takes away the sins of the world, who heals our infirmities, who binds us and lifts us up, who defeated death so that we may no longer fear it. We follow the one who leads us by his example, who lays down his life for all of us wayward sheep. As Isaiah puts it in chapter 53, verse 7, he was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. He went all the way for us. And that's the powerful message of the Easter season. A God who humbles himself to the level of us sheep and gives himself over for us. That's the message of the cross and the empty tomb. All we like sheep have gone astray, says Isaiah, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. In a world that's increasingly more scattered and scared, our task as Christ's church is to be increasingly ovine lingual, to constantly and compassionately translate and transmit the voice of the Good Shepherd to all of those who are lost and hurting and alone. It's about following Jesus' example, giving ourselves to invite others to come into his fold, where they too might be cared for and nurtured and fed and loved. In biblical times, shepherds had shrill yells that would resound across the wadis and the hills there in Israel. In fact, today, if you go with us, some of us are leaving on Tuesday to go to Israel, you will still see the Bedouins out there in the desert herding sheep in this very same way. They do it through little yips and yells and whistles. Sometimes they have the sheepdog who they whistle and who helps round up the sheep, but you will see these Bedouin camps out there and sheep being flocked from one place to the other. The voice is clear and loud. No mistaking it. The question for us on this Sunday in the Easter season is, are we listening for the shepherd's voice? To the one who says, I am your shepherd. I know the best path. Follow me. How do we do that? Well, we have to attune our ears, because there are a lot of voices out there competing for our attention, aren't there? There are lots of things on our smartphones that are calling for us. We have text messages. We have emails. We have pings and beeps of all different types. I don't even know how to turn most of them off. They just keep coming and coming and coming. Lots of voices are competing for our attention. We have to tune ourselves to listen to the one voice that can truly lead us to safe pasture, which is why we have to cultivate those disciplines, those daily disciplines of listening to the Good Shepherd. This is why we read our Bibles daily. This is why we spend time in prayer, not just merely talking to God, but also listening for what the Father has to say to us, to listen to the direction of the Good Shepherd. You know, if there's one app you want to download, there's an app that's just called the YouVersion Bible. And in that app, it will give you a daily reminder about a text to read. You can read through the whole Bible just by using that particular app. That's far more useful than one that tries to translate what your dog is trying to say, which is fairly limited. The Good Shepherd speaks to us always, and the more we put ourselves in his presence, the more we can hear his voice, the more we can hear him leading us to green pastures and still waters, the more we can hear him leading us to those places where it might cost us something, but yet there is true safety. There is true mission. Sheep regularly hear from their shepherd, and they trust his voice, no matter what the other competing voices might be, and they will do everything in their power to follow. So Jesus doesn't fit the typical shepherd stereotype, and it's probably fair to say that we aren't the brainless herd animals we assume sheep to be. But this biblical metaphor is still very timeless and rich. It ultimately gives us a picture of relationship, of protection and provision. It allows us to hear a clear voice that bids us to follow. For it's there that we will find rest for our souls. So are you walking through the valley of the shadow of death today? Does the reading of the psalm speak to you and your situation? Friend, keep following. Keep following the shepherd. He will lead you to where you need to be. Are you feeling lost and alone? Well, friends, come and join the rest of the flock. For it's here that we find grace, safety, acceptance, and love. Are you feeling helpless and harassed? Lean into the shepherd's voice and let him guide and protect you. Listen for him. Pray for him to speak with you. Allow him to translate his word in your life. You know, you don't need an app for that. Just listen. Let's pray. As we come to God in prayer this morning, I want to invite you to consider those two questions that we often ask. What is the Good Shepherd saying to you this morning? And what will you do about it? Good Shepherd, we are sometimes a wayward flock. We pursue our own agendas. We run after many voices. We prefer to try to go it alone, but we know that that is not the way that leads to life. We pray, God, that this day you would draw us closer to you. Attune our ears and eyes and hearts to hear your voice. Lead us to those places you would have us go. Sometimes those are green pastures when we need them, but sometimes you lead us into dangerous places where your word needs to be given. Lord, help us not to stay back, but to trust you in all things. For we know that any place you would lead us, you have already been. We pray for those around us who are in need and who are wounded and broken and perhaps outside the flock. Lord, send us to draw them in. May this be a place of healing and restoration. May we be your agents to bring forth your kingdom in the world. We pray for our world and the brokenness that we see. We pray for the people in Nepal who have suffered a devastating earthquake. Lord, let us be good neighbors and help the recovery. We pray for places where there is violence and strife, that we would be agents of your peace. We pray for those who are traveling, and we pray for our group as it heads to Israel this week. May this be a fruitful time, a safe time, a time of health and renewal and restoration. We ask blessings on us as we go forth this week, that we might represent you, that when people see us, they will know who our shepherd is. And we indeed pray this in the name of the Good Shepherd. Amen.